Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm making you two primaries in this disaster. Since you've made no progress in the klepto murder, I figure you do.
Thanks for the confidence.
And no problem.
I used to be huge.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. Yes, this is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 369. 369, that's like a three times as nice. Nice.
Nice.
My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm here today with Brian. He gets pretty pissed when they F up his burger to Dunaway.
Get it right, get it tight. Oh, hi. This week on Film Sack, we find ourselves caught up in a Hollywood homicide when HBO Max comes running in and starts shooting up our big city karaoke parody rap bar, Ibit, / beatnik poetry slam, Jordan, run by a simple country boy, Johnson, and leaves his 2003 action comedy puddle of piss, Dunaway, for us to explain to the authorities. No, officer, I did not pee-pee my mama boy pants when the shooting started. I ain't no snitch. Now pardon me while I run away. Hartnett brings all the girls to the yog, and Harrison's shots are better than yaws. Is that it, Ibbit? Did I guess the thing? Yes. Yeah. Anywho.
I don't even need to do mine now.
All right. Sweet. Anywho, I think it's time we put this whole East Coast, West Coast beef to bed, guys. Obviously, Shake Shack and In-N-Out Burger each have their own things that they do their best. No sense in escalating this to violence in the streets. When that happens, nobody wins but Big Chicken. Now, take my order. I would like a big bag of fries topped with a greasy burger sliding out of the bun and a single warm pickle that tastes like what this week's movie felt like to watch. Oh, this isn't Five Guys? Randy, I'm a simple man. I just want to record the podcast and escape my pee-pee still attached to my body.
Yeah.
Softened for your pleasure.
Wow. Another all-timer. Nice job. Yeah. Also with us, Randy, last time I lured him into the hot tub, he was fully clothed at the time, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian. Thank you for coming to our separate simultaneous interrogation rooms where we do state-of-the-art interrogations of multiple people by different people while a single person observes somehow, like picture-in-picture or something. Don't worry. We won't take it seriously. We won't take anything seriously around here except the profession of police detective, which we believe is truly awesome and special. It's very special. It's a very special, precious, important job that we're going to, we're going to show you respect. We're going to give you the respect you deserve as long as you follow these three special rules. Number one, always order the exact same food and always drop your order on your coworker rather than talking directly to the restaurant or picking it up yourself. Gosh, it's funny when food's wrong. Number two, get a second job and do your second job while you're at work for your first job, which is the very special job of police detective. Read from a booklet while you're driving your car. Cars aren't special. You're special. Number three, get your ringtone sorted. You know what's always going to be a thing that everyone has and everyone loves in the future? Ringtones. That's what.
This movie knows it, too. It is all about the stupid ringtones. All right, you guys, with us finally, Brian,
Dwight Yoakam. I nearly Dwight killed him, Ibbot.
Yoakam, but don't even Dwight him.
Yeah.
You know, no setup for this one, except I enjoyed None making needed. this week's song more than I enjoyed watching the movie it's based on. And I tried with the deadpan delivery of the original artist. Let's see if I can pull it off.
All right.
Hollywood ain't such a blast, 'cause I spend my time saving Hartnett's ass. Doing my realtor thing was working out fine, but now all my days are saving his behind. Sexy time, munching on a donut with a talk show gal. Makes you think now, don't it? She's my psychic pal. Trying not to bone it, so I'll wear some shades. No, the donut's not a euphemism. Ooh, look at those yoga ladies. Ooh, lots more yoga ladies. Ooh, constant stream of yoga ladies. Ooh, give me your bike. Once I worked alone and my job was class. Not anymore, thanks to Hartnett's ass. Chasing crooks through Venice ain't such a treat. My flip phone ringtone on constant repeat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Excellent work as usual. Jeez. Okay, hold on. I got a question. How do you choose that one? Because that usually I can kind of see the path, but this one I'm like, this feels so like just grab it out of the sky.
Was there any Blondie there? Did we miss the Blondie in the movie? This is perfect. I love it.
There was no Blondie in the movie. No, I was thinking, originally it was going to be Neil Diamond. I was going to do Pull Out Your Heart Net.
I couldn't think of anything too.
But it was like, I listened to the song and I'm like, oh my God, I forgot how much this song sucks. Like it is Neil Diamond like doing laps around the shark on water skis. It's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
So not once did you think about doing any rap, since it was prominently featured at the beginning of this before they got past that story and then we go into the more classics.
Rap is a little hard for me because it's so many lyrics to have to come up with. One hot minute I thought of Holly over homicide. But you can see just from my example there how bad that would have been.
Yeah, that would have been rough.
Stick with what you know, baby.
It's fun seeing the process. I like finding out how you did it. Well,
maybe one of my monthly specials will be how I come up with a song.
You should do it. Yeah.
Ooh, chronicle the whole thing.
Just chronicle an upcoming episode and you know, record all that. And then when you're done, you've got your bonus. You're done. That's great.
Video of it and all that stuff.
Great idea.
Wait. That's commingling of funds. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think so.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Commingling with the movie Hollywood Homicide is what we're doing today. And it's a movie from 2002. Hold on. Where's the date?
Three, I think. 2003.
Yeah. This is this Ron Shelton thing. You're like, wait, I know that name. Well, it's because we've done a bunch of his movies, but we're going to let Fake Fletcher explain. We're back to the AI because of some confusion this week with a listener, but don't worry about it. We'll get more soon. Here is that.
Hollywood Homicide. Two LAPD detectives who moonlight in other fields investigate the murder of an up-and-coming rap group. I don't think anyone enjoyed making this or watching this.
I just want to correct you, Scott. This is only our second Ron Shelton movie. We are watching this week because a few months ago we watched Bull Durham and we're like, hey, what did this guy ever do? And then this came up.
We did.
Can I ask something really quickly about Faux Fletcher, though?
Yeah.
Is he developing a Southern accent all of a sudden?
Oh, I like it.
It depends on when you click submit. He honestly just decides. I'm feeling more
akin to him than I have in the past, so I would say probably
nice. Aww, nice.
He's a little more like you. This movie is a Ron Shelton joint. I thought we'd seen White Men Can't Jump. I guess we haven't done that.
We haven't yet. No.
And this has me really combing through our list. Like we have, everything we see is
stuff out.
Possibly on a list. We have this huge list of movies we haven't seen, and things come out of that and move on to the main list.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like looking at that like, what else is in here?
Yeah, because Hollywood Homicide turns out is really... Here's my chief problem with this film from the get-go, and then we can break it down from there. The movie has nobody I like in it. And I don't mean actors, because I like these actors. Yeah, I like Josh Hartnett just fine. And I like Harrison Ford. And I like all these supporting actors. I love Keith David and freaking Dwight Yoakam's a freak show and everything.
Yeah.
And,
yes.
And there should be things to root for and like here. I just dislike everyone.
On paper, this should be a much better movie than it is. Mm-hmm. Like the combination of the director and all these actors, it on paper, which is why we thought of it for this. It's like, oh, on paper, this is kind of perfect for FilmSack. Look at all these, like, not just actors we like, but character actors, side actors. Anthony Mackie's in this.
Yeah, a bunch of people. And, they go on to be bigger
Bruce
later.
Bruce Greenwood. And,
Yeah, like Scott amazing
nailed
cast.
It for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott nailed it for me, because that's how I felt too. You have some of the most charming actors in Hollywood in your film, and you choose to instead to make them just slightly annoying. That's all they are. Just the whole movie, not likable, not enough to hate them either. Not enough to put them on the bad guy side, just annoying. And I think what happened here, to be honest, is I think it started off as one movie, and then Hollywood got a little navel gazy, and they couldn't get out of their own minds of thinking, this is hilarious. And it's like, yeah, but nobody else really deals with most of the stuff you're talking about on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
They can't really relate.
They're trying to make like a modern 48 Hours or a modern,
It was a buddy cop movie with no, they weren't really buddies.
Right. That's the thing. Like I made a bunch of top lists for this.
Right.
Like, I was sitting there like, oh, okay. So Ron Shelton here and others are trying to start a franchise, a buddy cop franchise. And we're going to want to see more of these people. Right. And so I was like, okay, what are the top buddy cop movies of all time? Right.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And so I just started listing them, like Lethal Weapon, obviously. Point Break, I think, is a pretty interesting one.
Yeah. I like that one.
Die Hard with a Vengeance, Mr. Die Hard gets himself a buddy.
Beverly Hills Cop.
I mean, those are both cops that work alone that just happen to have buddies that they bring along during one installment.
So as you go down the list, you start getting into the more comedy, like Rush Hour, Tango and Cash, right?
Yeah, Running Scared. I think Running Scared is actually a perfect example of making something that feels serious and has weight to it, but is also actually funny, and you give a shit about the people in it. Like, I like the characters in that movie. I like people in Lethal Weapon. I like people in stupid stuff like Dragnet or... I don't know, really serious stuff like The French Connection's an amazing movie with a great pair of cops. It's good, right? I mean, this reminded me of like Red Heat or one of these ones where it just feels like throwaway. It's like, well, okay, you guys are, I guess you're buddies, but you're not buddies, and that's okay.
Right.
Like, what's the Will Ferrell, the Marky Mark thing?
The Other Guys.
The Other Guys. Yeah. That's a modern example of getting the chemistry right. There's no chemistry here at all. It's like,
and you get the feeling that if either one of them were to say, "Yeah, one new partner," nobody would be disappointed or sad or anything. It's like, let's get new partners.
Yeah, it's the big miss, right? Like, you need them to either be actual buddies, or you need them to be from completely different stories, and they don't mix well, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they seemed to be buddies who also didn't mix well. And like, no, that doesn't work.
Maybe the age range is too wide. Like, he could literally be his grandson age wise. Mm-hmm. And that's okay.
And that would be,
I get the
they
idea.
They should have played that though.
Yeah,
they should have played. They should have said, because I've got to say Harrison Ford's character, it just didn't play well. Hartnett's character could have been a little bit better, but it wasn't that bad. You really needed Harrison Ford to be pissed at this kid for not being able to shoot well, you know, and kind of taking him under his wing and being less concerned about his whole real estate thing. I get that that's part of the joke, but they lean way too heavy into that. And I was so sick of hearing real estate jokes and the interruptions with the real estate jokes. I would have much preferred had seen a conflict going on between those two characters.
Right. But, they're 36 years age difference, by the way.
Yeah.
Between the two of them.
I mean, they didn't even dig into the burger conflict. It's like, well, this is a perfect thing. I mean, you could even have, people like one thing in their burger. They could be fighting about that.
jokes that go nowhere. It's
nowhere
over this movie.
Joke in a bucket is what it is, really.
Yeah.
No, it was a good way of putting it. It was a bucket.
Yeah.
That's good.
Joke in a bucket.
Because I couldn't find a chick in the bucket never happened, so let's give it to that.
Grab a bucket.
I disagree. What happened to Lou Diamond Phillips? He shows up.
Oh, right. Yes.
It's a prostitute. And we never get to.
There must have been.
It feels like cutting room floor stuff.
There must have been subplot number 17 with Wanda. Yeah. And Wanda just didn't make it into the rest of the movie.
I saw his name in the credits and I got excited because I kind of like his later stage work. And I
think we all did.
He's at the top of the credits. I saw
Gladys Knight's name in the credits. And Gladys Knight's only job, she must have only worked 5 minutes on this movie.
She played Olivia Rubino.
She stands in a doorway and yells, and that's it.
Yep, that's her whole job. And the pips were nowhere. And
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, the pips were all behind the scenes. They didn't do anything special. there's a really interesting cast here. I really like Alan Dale, by the way. He plays the commander guy in charge of everything, and he's not in it very much, but he's always got a presence that I appreciate. And like Keith David, I could just watch and listen to that.
And what a great trope. By the way, this is the good side of tropes. Keith David's character, he's the lieutenant cop or the captain cop who smooths everything over. He protects the cops that are being falsely accused.
I love
that role. I love it.
Yeah. I love that role too.
Yeah.
And this is a weird time because this is like 2003. So we're just coming out of, you know, the 90s where this police force was known to have a lot of problems, right? And as well as we've seen a lot of, we'd all been witness to many highway chase scenes and everything, and you know, the media getting involved and making it sensational in storytelling in Hollywood. And so it was a lot injected into this film that just didn't go anywhere. It's probably like they could have done more.
Oh, they could have done way more. And I kept going, okay, this is the formula I kind of get into. So let's go. And then it would go a little bit and I'd go, well, you're not there yet. Okay. Well, is something going to happen where this is suddenly I'm going to go, oh, right. These two, thank goodness they were together. These two opposites are now the best cop force of all time.
They're bigger than the sum of their parts. Like these two together are better than they would be individually.
Yeah. And the unfortunate
happen.
Yeah. There's no tango to anyone's cash in this. And the problem with that is that by the end of it, all of your crescendo moments in action, the big street scenes, all of that stuff falls flat because I don't have anything at stake here. It's just like, well, Harrison Ford looks like he's having a bad time. And in the trivia, it even says, here it is. Harrison Ford admitted in an interview that it was the worst film he ever did in his career and that he only did it for the money. Now, we could have a little scrutiny about that, but it was also reported Harrison Ford and Josh Hartnett did not get along during production, according to people on set. Right. Neither were very warm with each other when they went out to go promote the movie. Hartnett later revealed in an interview that he and Ford got along better toward the end, but said that there were times they would just end up sitting in a car when they were supposed to be doing a scene and neither of them would just say anything for like an hour and a half.
They just sat there quietly.
They're so far their age difference is so far apart. It just makes sense.
Yeah, but I know old people. Yeah. I just want to sit down and hear about their experiences and tell me about your life. And then
tell me what it was like filming Indiana Jones or anything.
Yeah. You know? Or the other way. Say, you're young and upcoming. What was it like working with Ridley Scott on the set of Black Hawk Down? Or, you know, there's something to talk about. And I think Harrison Ford is just a crank. I think he's tired.
I do too. Yeah. I think he's intimidating. And I could see keeping my mouth shut.
Oh, yeah.
If you threw me together with him. Yeah.
Do you think the reason that so much of this stuff felt watered down and lifeless was because they had to, or they felt like they had to adhere to the true story, the Robert Sousa autobiography that this is based on?
I actually
sensationalize it.
I kind of wrote the same question, like, because our complaint is has got to be, why is there so much packed into this movie? Why is it 2 hours long and it's got so many subplots and so on? And it must just be that they were totally smitten by the source material.
The source material.
It's
a shame they didn't get a chance to. I mean, okay, so it's called Hollywood Homicide. Before I've seen anything about it, I've seen the cover box a million times. I'm like, oh, that looks interesting. I'm assuming it's going to be a buddy cop movie, and there's going to be some serious homicide involved, right? Because it's in the title.
Sure.
And, but it's going to be a Hollywood take. You know, it's going to be a little light take occasionally. But for the most part, it's going to be a really hard-boiled cop movie, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm getting in and it's like this, all this light fare. They just kind of like brush off the East Coast, West Coast stuff. I'm like, yeah, man, y'all had an opportunity to dig deep into making it really something huge. You had Isaiah mm-hmm. Washington, who was doing a pretty decent job. He could have been much worse, but he ended up just being some punk running down the street while Yoakum
was way more intimidating as a villain.
Oh my gosh,
and I almost felt like the roles were kind of reversed as far as who you were more afraid of as someone watching this and feeling for the protagonist.
The boss level did not progress. It was not.
Yeah.
You're right. The boss hierarchy was not exactly what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Isaiah Washington, though, is also an interesting actor. If you're familiar with his work, he's mostly known for Grey's Anatomy. And on Grey's Anatomy, he's very sympathetic. He's very kind hearted. He's kind of one of the nicer characters and you root for him. I could never see him as like some kind of horrible kingpin in this. It just didn't work for me. His death, though, made me laugh out freaking loud.
right. Because this is a movie, and you love it or hate it for this, it knows that it's PG-13, this movie.
Right. Yeah.
And it's very aware of the lines you never cross. And so the movie from beginning to end is like, oh, well, then I'll make this a joke. And some of them actually work. I thought that worked.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. That stuff was all right. There's just stuff in here where you're like, okay, this is good primordial ooze. You also have a director and screenwriter who knows how to make stuff that people like. Although, I don't know, he hasn't had huge success since the 90s. But, you know, I really like Bull Durham. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And there was no reason to go into this thinking that he couldn't pull off another fun, relationship-heavy dude movie, you know.
He was one of the writers of Bad Boys 2.
Sure, which I love. And I love Bad Boys 2.
Much better buddy cop.
Huge fan. Movie. Yeah. Speaking of good buddy cops, he knows how to write this stuff.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what the thing about Bad Boys is? And I'm sure there are others that fit this mold. But in Bad Boys, you have one super cop and one broken man. And I feel like that's actually a really good method. And I realize sometimes filmmakers just want to do something different. Mm-hmm. But in this one, Harrison Ford is supposed to be playing the broken man, but he gets Lena Olin. He has really nice house. Like, it doesn't make sense.
He's a little behind on his payments.
They even tried to pass off that, you know, at some point when it was going through the mail, I was like, oh, they're fixing to reveal, you know, he's living outside his means, right?
Right.
And he's going to have a whole bunch of, you know, repo notices. Nothing there. They did eventually get to, they're going to repo his car. And I'm like, but you didn't feel desperate. You know what I mean?
Right.
I wanted desperation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not, you know, Harrison Ford is a cop on the, Harrison Ford is doing just fine and has a new partner.
He's late on maybe a payment or two. It's not that bad.
Exactly. In a world where bills are mostly paid on time.
Right. That's right. And his credit rating isn't all that bad, but he's got a couple of things. Like none of that is exciting, right? Yeah. It's all super boring and dumb.
Zero stakes.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't ever feel like his conflict with Bruce Greenwood was all that important. And like the characters, what they're saying and how they're looking at each other, they're trying to act like it's really important.
Yeah.
And I just never felt that. And then it really falls apart. I love him too.
I just love him. And the younger. Keep going. But
yeah, he's the villain of the movie. Right. And you never understand really what's this backstory.
I'm still not sure why he got arrested. I know it was told to me, but I'm not 100% sure tell you what happened.
It was not told to you. There was too much going on. I didn't understand the whole Sartain and Mako and how all these guys were all interconnected because they passed by it really quickly and said, oh, they're kind of related to all this stuff. And then, you know, Mako wasn't even mad at Gavilan because he was dating his girl because he didn't even know it. And I was like, what is this conflict coming from? The movie
gives you backstory. Like Harrison Ford says to Josh Hartnett, how long have we been working together? 4 years. So your dad died, huh?
Yeah.
That's right. Yes.
You're just now getting to that? Oh, come on.
Yeah, that was weird. That was really weird.
And he was a cop. Like, you know, feels like he was a baker and he died in an oven accident. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. But the fact that he's a cop, like, no, you kind of should have known this day one, day two.
And you know, I mean, we're used to it in TV, but some movies do okay with an A and a B plot or a C plot even.
Yeah.
This movie had 14 plots And yeah, they were all
it was a geometry of plots.
It really was. And they were all kind of loose and lame, and it was hard to fit them together or relate them. Like that was really
poorly handled. And are we supposed to say like the hand wavy, I guess the psychic thing worked? Like are we supposed to
Yeah, yes. Dude, I wondered about that. I wondered about that.
That's the joke, right? I yeah. guess. Yeah. Now K-Rupt or K-Ro, that I wanted more K-Ro. He needed to be I couldn't get enough of this guy. The guy that peed himself and at the very beginning.
Oh, yes, right.
Yeah, his mom. Last night.
He was awesome. Son.
Yeah, yes, he was awesome. The paddleboat chase and the...
Paddleboat chase. Oh, he was... I could have used him. He should have been a running gag, literally.
Yeah.
Throughout, you should use him as a running gag.
No, he was... That whole sequence was my favorite part of the movie. I'll be honest.
Yeah, mine too.
It made me actually laugh.
The duck pond with the duck shit.
Yep. The way he was bad-mouthing him in the car, just funny. That guy was funny. He was good.
And he brought it.
And that makes you wonder, like, if they had edited this movie down to something reasonable, I think they would have lost all the funniest parts, you know, because that wouldn't have been in this movie.
That would have been something that got cut because it was mostly irrelevant. It was just really for a little bit of color.
But he's our plot. He could easily been our storyteller, right? Because he's there throughout the whole film. He could have easily everything could have been attended just a little bit through his character.
Yeah, and why they decided not to, I do not understand. It's very weird.
Yeah,
very weird choices because some of that stuff was really hung up.
They got really hung up on inside jokes, essentially. The lifestyles that are going on in that area.
And maybe that's it. Maybe this movie is really funny to cops and nobody else.
I'm sure people who live in LA. I'm sure it's outrageous to like internal affairs cops because oh my gosh, it takes liberties with what they're doing.
Yeah, all that was so like I don't know. I'm no expert, okay, but I have seen enough of these things to know that this stuff's been done way better than this.
Right.
It's like
were you guys like laughing at like I'm into yoga.
No, here are the two things that I actually did laugh at, and one of them was in my intro song. But it was Harrison Ford growling at the girl to take her bike, which
that was. I felt conflicted during that whole time.
It felt almost improv, like it just felt so weirdly out of place for the character, but it made me laugh, and maybe that's why. And then I also chuckled at the all the helicopters reporting on all the other helicopters.
Oh yeah, dude, that was all right. Yeah,
that actually made me laugh. Like,
that was a big eye roll.
This one's here, and that one's here, and then the other Catalonia. This one, then this other one's in Spanish, saying "Zima."
Yeah, that was a huge
eye roll for me because it's so. Like blase, like I turn on the TV. I turn on the TV, and there's a chase somewhere in Southern California, and all kinds of coverage. And sometimes it comes right by my house because I live pretty close to the 405.
Yeah.
But I'll bet in 2003, I'll bet this was kind of new stuff, and so it was funnier then.
Yeah, right. I think that's fair. But it, I don't know, man. I just was like the whole time going, This is one of those things where they are all just taking a trip to Abilene. Like this is them just going, I don't know. I guess I don't feel good about this. And then the director saying, "How's everyone feeling? Oh, it's great. We're loving it. Let's keep it going." Like they don't really. Nobody
Can
wants
we shoot
to go.
Longer?
It's like nobody wants to drive there, but they're all driving there anyway. It's kind of like that. I don't know. I got this weird vibe. I do have some scrutiny though. Let me give you the scrutiny right here.
Scrutiny.
Because this is a big one for me. Says the film was originally going to be a drama before Suge Knight complained to the producers. The film was subsequently turned into a comedy. Did Suge Knight have that kind of power over your production? Like,
no kidding. You got to listen to Suge. Well, you know.
I guess it's according to how it was portrayed because you know all that. When I said earlier about the East Coast West Coast stuff,
yeah,
I just don't know. I imagine him having that influence.
Has it? It's never been confirmed, but isn't Suge the chief suspect for the Tupac thing? Yeah.
Yes,
but
still is.
But never.
Although, this is basically part his story, right? That's what Sartain is supposed
Sartain's like him. Yeah, he's like a mogul and all that. But the question about the killings, I think that changed recently with some new evidence for the Tupac side in Vegas or something, and maybe he's not the prime.
This is going to be this generation's who killed Kennedy thing, okay? Somebody's always going to have some kind of, oh, no, we know. It's been how many years now? You just can't get that much new evidence.
94, 97, I don't remember.
Yeah, something like that. It's just too far gone.
Yeah.
we're never going to know the truth.
This is our JFK. This is JFK for 90s kids. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah.
I think, yeah. I mean, the ramifications are maybe less important, but still, you know,
it's impact wise, yeah. though. Ramifications, yeah. yes.
Culturally, I don't know about total impact, but cultural impact, yeah. Total impact is a little
bigger. We're on a podcast here in 2024, and we're having a discussion about his murder.
So, yeah, I mean, over 25
yeah,
years.
Yeah, but right. we also do that with Kennedy still, and also that was the president of the United States. And so
I'm
just saying.
That's what I'm saying. And yet, the same breath. You know,
I'm not I'm not sure impact. I'm not sure cultural I would say impact. They have equal impact. I'd say they both.
No,
have
no, I didn't say equal pack. I said cultural impact.
I'll give you that. At one point, this movie and SWAT, the 2003 SWAT. Did we watch that? I think we did. Didn't we?
I think we watched SWAT.
I've seen it, and I wouldn't have watched it for any other reason than you guys made me watch it.
I thought we did SWAT.
We did. It was FilmSack 509.
There you go. Yeah, and then we did The Italian Job as well. All three of these movies were filming the exact same time in those exact same L.A. streets.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And I'm just going to tell you, SWAT and The Italian Job are better films.
They must have gotten first pick of the areas to use.
Yeah.
Right. I'm closing my eyes real tight, and all I remember was Colin Farrell in conflict with Samuel L. Jackson.
I think that's correct. My memory is that also, although the TV show I always get confused too, because there's some good stuff about that. But let's see, SWAT the movie. 2011, right? No. Hold on.
No, earlier.
Oh my gosh, this thing is. There's so many names. There's so many SWATs. Have you seen how many SWATs there are?
There are many SWATs.
There's so many SWATs. but it wasn't
lots of SWATs.
LL Cool J was in one of them, right? Or the one we saw. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I can remember.
Yeah. I think there's only been one. Yeah.
Let's see. Yeah, I still can't find it. All right, well, whatever. The point is, those were better movies, and SWAT's not a good movie. And that tells you how bad Hollywood Homicide is.
Okay. You know, I don't think Hollywood Homicide is necessarily bad, but if you're looking to laugh, cry, or have any emotions, probably not the movie for you. But if you're just looking to turn something on the TV and occasionally look over and see Harrison Ford making a face.
I'm with Dunaway here. I actually could see myself watching this movie again in the future, not soon. But later, I can see myself watching this movie again. And I don't say that about a lot of these middling movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
I wouldn't watch it intentionally, but if I'm, you know, if I'm on Tubi, you know, and it's the next thing on the movie channel.
Yeah. No, not me. I'll skip it.
For me, there is never going to be a time that there's something on another channel that I can't.
Not even for yogas?
Nope.
They're nice, pretty ladies, sure, but you know, and I love both Lena Olin and Lita Davidovich. There was a movie with Richard Gere called Intersection.
Yes,
and who was the third? It was like basically a love triangle between Lita Davidovich, Richard Gere, and I can't remember who the third woman was, but. That's my I really like this actress. She's great.
No, she's awesome, dude. Love her. She's been around forever.
She's apparently married to the director too. She's married to Shelton.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But even that's not enough for me to say, yeah, I'll stick around and watch this. I will find something. I'm sure there's something on the game show channel the game show network. That
100% with you. This is Team Gibbet speaking, everyone. No, big no to this movie. It is so aggressively mid. And you hear that term all the time, and I don't normally like it.
Mid. Yes, good way to put it. Yeah.
But it is really commits to being a very mid kind of experience. And
I got to say, I hate to put all the blame on Harrison Ford, but I just feel like I think he effed this movie up. Okay.
Put somebody else in his role. Who fixes this film?
Yeah.
I think he brought us a bad vibe. That's what I think. I think he brought a bad vibe to this. Yeah,
that didn't answer Brian's question.
Yeah, that didn't answer. Exactly.
I want to hear an answer.
Witness that he is under oath and doesn't need to answer the question.
First of all, have I been booked for anything? I don't think so. Am I under arrest right now? No,
yes,
sir.
You have been this whole time.
This is just an inquiry, but if we, you know,
look,
we can hold you for 24 hours.
You got me in that interrogation room. I'm doing some yoga. That's what we're doing right now. I'm doing yoga and you're trying to find out.
I'm going
to
put you in a room full of convicts and one toilet. So get ready.
See, for me, it's totally Josh Hartnett who, if you level that up, you might get a better result. But you have to also fix the script. You can't have like the Josh Hartnett character having so much going on with the yoga and the acting and totally unnecessary thing at the end.
Yeah.
Like if you do all of that and you replace Josh Hartnett with, I don't know, Sean William Scott. I don't know who.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad, actually.
Yeah.
Sean William Scott is good for this because he can be a wild card for, you need somebody to be a little bit more interesting. And you've got two straight men and no.
What if we put The Rock in there? Would that be a better movie?
Well, as the straight guy, yes. But here's the thing. I think Ibbot just said it perfectly. This is a temp. This thing has a template, and they did not follow the template rules. The template rules is you have one guy who's either the seasoned, been there for a long time, very by the book, whatever guy, and then you have the little bit of loose cannon guy. It's the Lethal Weapon template. And it works. Yeah. It functions for these things and makes for interesting film telling. Cannon. Instead, this one's like, well, let's wacky. Have a here's an old guy and a hippie. Great. Right.
I mean, you never watched loose cannons.
Look at Running Scared. You know, there's that template, but it's so subtle. Like neither one of them is the super wild card. Billy Crystal's probably more of it than Gregory Hines, there's still that formula, seasoned, and one of them's kind of a little nutty, wacky, and the other one's kind of more straight laced, and it really works.
I agree with that. This is a mistake. They screwed up, and what they did,
mistake.
Two straight and narrows, and a Sean William Scott. I like that a lot. Or you go someone a little bit wackier for the. You know, you keep the new guy, or the young guy, straight laced, and you make the older guy someone who's a little bit more on the edge. Gary Busey, or
sure,
that's a lot on the edge. That's they basically get Point Break if you do that, right?
Yeah, but you know what? You get current day or even 2003 Gary Busey, and you match him with Sean William Scott. That's a movie I want to get my ass in the chair and watch.
And basically, that's a movie I'm going to prompt ChatGPT to write right now.
The summary for me is that Harrison Ford is funny when he's written this way. He's funny. He really knows how to pull off that wry, almost wink at the camera kind of thing. And Josh Hartnett is just a guy. He's just not. Mm-hmm. He's not special for this.
No. He's not. What?
How dare you?
You're a fan today.
I really like Josh Hartnett.
I like him too.
I like Josh Hartnett.
Penny Dreadful.
He was good. Yeah, Penny Dreadful was really good.
Penny Dreadful was fantastic. And that was the thing that turned me around for him, really. Or at least made me appreciate his.
He plays the best when he's in when he's broody. That's just a better Hartnett for me.
But attractive guy like The Faculty Black Hawk Down, which is an excellent movie. But
yeah, it's a great movie.
Like I said,
I like him in those like straight laced military roles. Like I realize I'm the only person on the planet who liked Pearl Harbor. I thought he was really good in Pearl Harbor.
He was good in it.
Yeah,
he was good in it. Yeah,
yeah.
First time I ever saw him,
I feel like he was replaceable, but. That's just me.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I first time I ever saw him, I think my first exposure to him was the H2O kind of reboot of the Halloween series. Yeah. And I remember thinking, this kid's going to go somewhere. It just felt like he was going to head somewhere and maybe have a career. And these days it feels like he's, I don't know, a little muted. You don't hear about a lot of Hartnett projects anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of a bummer.
He had a bit role in Oppenheimer and he had a starring role in an episode of Black Mirror last year, but I don't know. He doesn't feel like he's really on top anymore.
It feels like he's at a stage where he could do some great like indie projects, a lot of like smaller indie films, and do really well with them.
Yeah,
maybe some stage stuff. Della,
I liked him in Wrath of Man. You guys should see Wrath of Man. By the way, it was a recent-ish Guy Ritchie deal, Statham deal, and it was good, and he was great.
I'd have never even heard of this. I'm looking at the description. 2021.
Yeah, dude. Holt McRaney or McCallany again.
Is it just basically Transporter 6?
No, not at all.
Because Beekeeper is basically Transporter 6.
No, this is a very cool... Ooh, Jeffrey Donovan, forgot he was in it. This is a very cool... It's one of my favorite Ritchie movies.
I guess the Guy Ritchie takes it in a different direction than the usual Statham stuff. Oh,
for sure. Yeah. It's more like his classic Statham usage where he uses him for good, not
Revolver
for evil.
Or
Statham.
Wrath of Man is actually great. I would recommend that thing to anyone. But Hartnett, you know, gets around, he gets some shit done. He's all right. I don't mind.
Yeah. I like him a lot.
30 Days of Night. You know what? Go watch that again. That thing's great.
That's a really good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Or Lucky Number Slevin, where he plays Slevin.
Slevin. Hi, I'm Slevin. Oh, gosh. Slevin. I hate that. All right. Lucky Number Slevin.
I still hate the title. The title still makes my hair stand.
It's so forced.
Look at our clever title.
We made up a name, and it sounds like this thing in this common phrase, which isn't even a common phrase. Who says Lucky Number Seven? Nobody does.
Nobody says that. Name someone who says it, and then I'll tell you they're lying. I'll show you this again just for fun, but this is the first time I've ever seen Harrison Ford like this.
You and his proctologist.
Boxers.
Yeah.
Another scene that was perfectly funny, but didn't need to be in the movie.
None of his love scene crap needed to be anywhere near me. I hated all that.
Well, that's because this movie is a guy movie. It's a boy movie, very strongly boy movie. And it only casts women as appendages to the men. So Lena Olin plays girlfriend, Lolita Davidovich plays Madame, criminal prostitute, right? Gladys Knight plays mom. That's all we can do. We have the only other woman in the movie is a detective who's doing an interrogation, Josh Hartnett, and he ends up getting his hands on her bare skin in the middle of an interrogation. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, none of that worked. All of that bugged me. That was all way, way too zany. I can't do zany. Don't bring me zany. And don't try to tell me this is based on a true story and then do zany shit like that.
Right. I think according to the deal, it's the only actual thing that seems like came from the book was the dude with the handcuffs on shooting the gun in the parking lot of the police station.
That was fun. Yeah. That was
which
fun.
Was fun.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, but if that's the entirety of the basis of reality of your true to life story, why are we bothering? Why bother? Make a whole new thing then. This cast is amazing. You got the money. You got a director who knows his shit. It just feels like something went wrong and nobody said anything.
By the way, speaking of Lolita Davidovich, I like her. I really do. Oh, yeah. But I'm sorry, Lolita Davidovich is when you order Marsha Gay Harden off of Teen Wolf.
Oh, no.
No.
No, no, no.
I mean, Marsha Gay Harden is amazing, no question. But
yes.
No, she's the whole time I'm just wow, they really have the Marsha Gay Harden wig on her. And it's all the perfect parts there.
Yeah.
I feel like Marsha Gay Harden plays just more hard-edged. In this, she's kind of tougher. Lolita Davidovich is tougher, but still, it's not her typical thing.
Yeah. Now, I got to admit to something that's kind of embarrassing. I've had what I thought was the IMDb up for this movie, and I kept seeing I kept seeing Joey Pants and Liano on there, and I kept going, man, when does he show up? Because he's not in here. He's not in here. Why is he on the list?
Are you looking at Hollywood Confidential or what?
For some reason I have a link that permanently I go to IMDb, it permanently goes to the Matrix.
Goes there first.
Sequel. It's your bookmarked.
It makes me so mad.
It is annoying because in the spreadsheet it just says IMDb.com, but for whatever reason it links to this, and it's
YouTube
always him.
My YouTube is a Desperado trailer. I've seen it a million times. Every time I go to YouTube, it goes straight to that. I'm like, shit.
Isn't my Amazon is bone conduction headphones.
So I have a confession to make, and I'm embarrassed. Okay, but I'm going to confess this. I realize we're supposed to watch these movies when we sack them, and I'm sure I sat and watched this movie. I have no idea where Eric Idle is in this movie.
I do.
He's near the beginning. He's just a celebrity that they're pulling through the police station that got arrested. That's it.
He walks by
the hookers and they recognize each other in chit chat and he says, "I've never
let's get him out of the way on audio.
You can hear the entirety of Eric Idle's performance in the clip Scott's about to play.
Yeah, probably. I'm just gonna play this, and this is the entirety of his thing in the movie.
I was not soliciting. I was doing research. Research is not soliciting. I've never had to pay for sex. I have 4 BAFTA nominations. Evening Gloria. Do you know who I am?
It was actually kind of a very, very Monty Python kind of joke. you know?
Yeah.
I got a cut of this movie that didn't include that. There's no way I saw that. Well,
come on, you watched it on Netflix with the, or Max, with the rest of us, right?
Yeah. Come on,
I mean, it's Eric Idle.
It's a blink and you miss it kind of thing.
I've seen everything he's ever done many times. Yeah. I don't understand how that happened.
You got to rewind and watch that scene. It was a very Monty Python joke. It was actually okay. But was somebody friends with him? Was he just around the set and they said, "Hey, Eric, you're going to die soon. You want to come be in this bad movie?" He's still with us, by the way. He's not dead. Mm-hmm. But why else would Eric Idle bother? What is the you get paid for that?
Well, I feel like the same situation with Robert Wagner. Like,
yeah.
Dude. Which was the weirdest little cameo placement. I mean, weirder than the Smokey Robinson as a taxi driver kind of placement.
Yeah, but this is a joke about Hugh Grant, right? Like, it's the same. It's an Englishman who gets arrested.
Once again, it was inside. You had to. I was like, I don't get this reference. I get that it's a reference.
But Brian's talking about the. You're not talking about Eric Idle anymore. You're talking about what's his name? You're talking about
Hugh Grant.
Wagner? Hugh Grant.
When he's doing the Hollywood Walk of Fame star, right?
Oh.
In the film?
I thought you were talking about the dude, Mr. Number One or whatever his name is on, what's his name? The guy, the Hartford.
Austin Powers.
Yeah.
You're talking about, Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner, right. You were talking about Robert Wagner. He's got nothing to do with Hugh Grant, right?
You're talking about the Eric Idle connection to Hugh Grant or being the parallel to Hugh Grant.
Right, right. I guess what I'm saying is the having him do the thing at the Chinese theater, what was the point of that? Like what?
Right, yeah, there was nothing. I thought there was going to be way more like the car was going to crash into the crowd. They were all going to jump out of the way at the last minute. He was going to land in the wet cement or something, but it felt like it was.
So Robert Wagner got his star on the Hall of Fame in July of 2002. Oh, they must have just been filming at the same time and decided to work it in.
Okay.
It must have been a crossing.
It looked like it was filmed differently even. It looked like news footage versus the film footage. So they probably did do that. And also when the crash happened, they kept putting his hands in the cement and, you know, acted like there wasn't a giant crash right in front of the theater.
Right. Like exactly. Like it was shot at different times or,
Who's the little dude with him? Is that I can't think of his name. The little white haired old man that was standing with Wagner.
Oh, I thought the president of the Hollywood Walk of Fame committee or something.
I thought it was an actor. I thought it was some old 40s guy. Like we should all know. Let's see this guy right here.
Once again, I felt like I was on the outside looking in.
Yeah, that guy right there. Yeah,
that's not.
Mickey Rooney.
Who
you're thinking?
That's not who that
is. It does look like Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, but... I mean, Mickey Rooney. I think
that's not the Rooney.
Mickey Rooney was dead by then. Hold on, Mickey.
I think so.
Yeah. I'm gonna look it up. Mickey Rooney died. He died in 2014. No. So that might have been him.
Because I was in the bathroom with him in like 2008. So definitely not.
I'm sorry. Can we back the truck up and tell us more about that story? How did you end up in the?
Oh yeah, he was what year was it? He was at Dragon Con one year.
Yeah.
And I had to go to the bathroom. I had to go to the bathroom and I'm like, I just went into the bathroom across from the Hall of Fame walk of fame or whatever. And I was walking in the bathroom and all of a sudden there's like this really big guy just stand there. I'm like, oh, okay. This guy, is he like the bathroom clerk? What is this guy doing? And so I was side eyeing this guy. So I went over and I was peeing next to this old guy while I was at the urinal. And I kind of look over next to him. I'm like, oh, hi. Oh, I should be excited. Oh,
yeah.
Hope I don't get beat up.
Did you do anything?
I'm trying to pee.
Did you say anything?
Why was Mickey
him?
Rooney at Dragon Con, though? That feels like a weird combination of actor and convention.
How close was this to that Night at the Museum business he was in? Because maybe that was
That might have been,
Okay. That makes sense. Sure.
Maybe he was celebrating Chinese New Year, like the, you know,
like the rest of us.
Honor of his people.
I'm sure that's true. Do you think Robert Wagner, this is a total side note.
It was 2006 that he was there. That's when it was. Yeah.
Okay. Is this a weird question to ask? Do you think Robert Wagner, his star is like anywhere near Natalie Wood's star out there?
I was thinking you were going to say, do you think Natalie Wood's remains are anywhere near the cement that he put his hands into?
But, you know, like it would be a little awkward. It's like, oh, who's your star? Whose star is right next to yours, Robert? Natalie Wood's star is right there. I didn't kill her.
You know, when you don't have a choice on something like that, it burns me up. Like Tina's, the best example of this is at, I think it's Forest Lawn in Hollywood, Forest Lawn Cemetery. You've got all of the, what is it called when they're not buried in the ground, but they're
mausoleum.
The mausoleum spot for Marilyn Monroe. And Hugh Hefner paid X million dollars, whatever, to have the one right next to hers. And I think you should have a say. You should posthumously have a say.
I think
in
so
who
too.
Gets put in any of the squares around you.
Well, especially that place, right? You'd have the money to have a say. You should be able to have it in your contract to say, well, all right, I don't want any of these particular. Here's a list of people I don't want anywhere near me.
Here's my estate. They can make the decision. And yeah. But
That would be weird. Yeah. Let's see what else I I wrote. This is my first three notes. This movie sucks. Pretty early, probably first 10 minutes. Yeah. Then I wrote, these leads have no chem, which I meant chemistry. And then I wrote, nice undies indie. Those are the three, three things. But it did feel like an average, it felt like an episode of the A-Team toward the end. It was like just mayhem for no reason. Stakes were low.
Chase scenes where, you know, one of the things that causes suspense and makes a chase scene feel relevant is when you show how close the people are to each other. They just kept cutting back and forth to the person being chased and the person chasing without any frame of reference to say, oh, he's right around the corner or he's half a block down. No, here's Harrison Ford running down the street. Here's this other guy in an office building. Like, how close are these two things together?
They could have been in different cities. That's how that felt. That was really weird. Yeah. And Randy, I don't know if you have it near you. There's a tire in your tropes list, but there's a tired old joke that you see in a billion movies where a very hyper moment is happening, very intense, you know, chase or something. But then you got to take an elevator and there's nice soft music while you're
elevator
in the
music and it just pauses everything.
What is that called? Because that is a trope from hell. You see it in everything. Every movie's got this scene where somebody has to sit and act like nothing's going on and go up an elevator with some seemingly unconnected people who are just sort of going about their day. And
it's the action sequence intermission. And
I hate that.
Like, I feel like filmmakers, you're right, they do it too much, but they do have a good reason for it. Like, this movie has an action sequence to end the movie or near the end of the movie that goes on for like 35 minutes.
It's pretty long.
And it's way too long. Way too long, like so long. And the running gag throughout the whole movie is that in the middle of excitement, Harrison Ford takes a phone call.
Yeah.
And like, that's supposed to be hilarious.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be.
And it wasn't at all. It was just like, oh, so you've got a buyer for the house. And then he waves his gun around and these ladies on the elevator are like supposed to.
Yeah. So like the elevator intermission is combines the two. And it's like, oh, wow, that's too much. That's way too much. Because we keep looking at these terrorized women.
That annoyed me.
They're funny, but not for the reason the filmmakers thought.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't like it. Also, the horn honking scene, too zany. Like he's on a bike.
Too zany.
And he's going, beep, 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 beep.
Like, yes.
All right. I get it. He's an old guy, and he's forced to ride the bike because doesn't have another option.
It's Hartnett kidnapping the wife and those kids. Right, I was like, okay, that's too far. Okay.
Yes. There's no way Hartnett is smart enough to know not to talk about beheadings and horrible things with kids in the car. He's not so out of touch that he wouldn't do that.
Too zany.
You're out of touch.
It's too zany and too cheap. It's just too easy. Yeah. Like I'm not saying this stuff is easy to make. I'm sure it's hard. I'm sure that getting the right chemistry and making a movie as good as I don't know, you know, Lethal Weapon or something. I think that's hard work, but this movie just never found their foot. Just never had it happen. And these two just never had chemistry and whatever behind the scenes. I don't care. Like, good actors will create good situations. And this was just a bad pairing. Just bad. Yeah. And I like them both separate, but you know, I don't know. I felt this way about LaBeouf and him in Crystal Skull.
Yeah. It makes you wonder. Yeah. If we might have found our culprit, but
if he's the thing that you just can't find chemistry.
He might be hard or something.
I've been blaming Anne Heche this whole time.
Wait, on the other hand, why is it Anne Heche? Hold on.
What's the Six connection? Days and Seven Nights.
Oh, right.
That's right. That's right.
the most un-rom rom-com of all time.
Yeah. That thing was devoid of rom. No rom.
Since you brought it up, I went to a couple of different movie rating sites, and I made a list of the 8 worst Harrison Ford films.
Oh, this will be good. Okay.
I compiled numbers.
How many can we guess?
Okay. I have them in an order, but they don't have to be in an order. But I'm saying that I have numbers 33 through 40. Okay. And that's kind of arbitrary. There's probably more than 40 Harrison Ford films, but this is what I was able to compile. So do you want to guess? Do you want to?
I mean, I would put so excluding this and 6 days, seven nights.
Those are in there. Yes.
Those are in the 7. Okay. That you've got. Let's see.
I'm going to guess that Firewall movie's pretty high on there.
Yes. I have it at 38.
Oh God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And don't we have one coming up?
Is it fair for me to look at a list of Harrison Ford movies, or is that cheating?
You can. I don't think any of this matters. There's some real garbage here, but there's also some debatable stuff, right?
is Crystal Skull in the list?
No.
Oh, it should be.
It should be.
Cowboys and Aliens?
Yes. I have Cowboys and Aliens at number 33.
Oh, so great.
Is that coming up in our list?
It's like 2 episodes away. We got to watch that. We'll move that around. What about that Ender's Game deal?
Not this low.
Oh, yeah, really? Okay. People didn't like that much, but how about when he tried to play a Russian, what was that called, where he was like a submarine captain? Something with, not the Widowmaker. Widowmaker?
Widowmaker.
K-19 Widowmaker. Widowmaker, that's it. That would have been
not on this list.
Not on this list? Really?
No, I'm telling you, the best on this list is Cowboys and Aliens at 33.
Soon.
And then you've named 34, 36, and 38.
All right.
Random Hearts. I don't even know what that is.
39 on the list.
How about
to worst movie?
I only know that movie by its movie poster. That is all I know about Random Hearts.
There's a list I'm looking at that says Paranoia. I don't even know what that is. 2013.
So that is objectively Harrison Ford's worst movie. Everywhere you look at ratings, Paranoia is 0. It is like 5% on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. It's so bad.
Wow. I don't even know what it is.
Liam Hemsworth, Gary Oldman, Amber Heard, and Harrison Ford. Jeez.
Yeah.
Again, another one with Barry Levy, or a screenplay. Never mind. It's another one that almost on paper sounds like, oh, this would be really good for FilmSack, but probably would be unwatchable.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to sack that anytime soon.
Yeah.
Wow. Harrison Ford put on some age in 10 years after that. 2003, this one, and then this.
Boy, so now that you've gotten the bottom 3, really the bottom 4 out of 5,
I'll
give you the other 2. You named Cowboys and Aliens, 6 Days, Seven Nights. 35 is The Devil's Own, 1997.
The Devil's Own.
I don't know what
that is. This is Hollywood Homicide. And then the bottom 3 are Firewall, Random Hearts, and Paranoia. You have not come up with Extraordinary Measures, 2010.
Don't know that one either. I must have missed.
Yeah, and so, like, these are all of an age. They're between 97 and 2011, 2013. Yeah. And apparently, Harrison Ford just couldn't pick a script to save his life.
Oh, Devil's Own was the Brad Pitt deal, right? Is that the one? Did we see this? We didn't see this.
I don't think we've seen it because I don't think I've seen it.
Okay. Yeah. It's got Ruben Blades in it. Remember when he was a big deal? Oh, yeah, Ruben Blades. Well, I still kind of like.
I'll tell you, I want to agree with you that this was the worst of the Ford movies that we've sacked.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Looking at this, like, we've sacked some of his best. We've sacked The Fugitive and Blade Runner and Air Force One.
Yeah, these are great. I love everything you said right there. Is good.
Yeah. So this is our 8th Harrison Ford movie. I promise you, we will sack him again in the future.
Do we do Clear and Present Danger? Don't remember.
Not yet.
Okay. We did the other one, though.
Yes, we did the Ben Affleck one, and we did Patriot Games.
Patriot Games, that's it. Can never remember.
Yeah, when you pause in HBO Max, and it's like, you might want to watch these. It's like a whole list of these, and I was looking at it.
You might want to watch these instead of the movie you're currently watching. It's not too late. You can back out of this.
You can still get out, man. You can still get out. All right. I didn't find anything gross other than just, it was just stupid, but nothing was gross.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'd known that it was pee that Harrison Ford was lifting off the floor and bringing to his face.
Mm-hmm. Then I might, yeah, maybe.
You're splashing in it.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Some of that, maybe. I don't know. That burger looked gross.
Bag that. Have it on my desk.
Oh, the burger? I was guessing that. Was
the burger looked, gross it part. Did look gross. And I don't mind mayo on my burger, but the way they depicted mayo, that looked wrong.
They really did.
It didn't
look
right.
They took some mayo and they stirred some Elmer's glue into it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was sticky and stringy and stuff. F that business. Not interested.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, should we do some clips then to do this? Okay. I like, you know, look, the one thing I like about clips is, number one, sometimes it will shed new light on what we saw and maybe change our minds just a little. I don't think that happened today. So here's the clips, everybody. Don't know nothing.
Man, I don't know nothing about no East Coast, West Coast, hip hop, gang banging bullshit.
Love it. That guy's great.
So that's Master P, yeah?
Yeah, yes, could use more Master P. We've seen
Master P before.
Mm-hmm. Have we? And what? What did we see?
Yeah,
Gone in 60 Seconds.
Oh,
Scooby-Doo for sure.
Okay. Gone in 60 Seconds. He's in that, and he has practically the same line. If you could dig up clips for that movie, he says practically the same thing.
There's a fair number of rappers in this thing.
Well, yeah, the story is supposed to be about rappers at the beginning. So no,
that's true.
It was supposed to be about that story.
Yeah. Trying to think, is there anything he's done that I really liked? I can't think of anything. Killing Hasselhoff. That was fun. All right, moving on to the next clip, which is Don't Call Me Sir.
Don't call me sir. I work for a living.
Okay, Harrison Ford. Jeez Louise.
Jeez, totally unnecessary line.
Yeah. But here's that puddle of piss.
Did you get the puddle of piss and the shoe prints in the electrical closet?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great line.
Puddle of piss.
Here's a clip. Let's see, who sent me this? Oh, this is actually sent to me by Tina, but I think she got it from your mom.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
This is you trying to impress your date with the businesses that you have.
Sure.
Because you were trying to, you know, get this girl who was, she was pretty materialistic. She was into the money and the whatnot. And so this is what you told her.
3 tanning salons and 2 original silk tip nail parlors.
Wow. Did that work on her?
That was actually, actually part of a prom day. We went there and before the actual event. And then a Shoney's for dinner.
A little mani-pedi, a Shoney's, all the bacon and you can
a
eat.
A little tan. Exactly, yeah.
You say Shoney's, I think bacon. Immediately, I think bacon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's all I think about with Shoney's is bacon.
That's what I think. Yeah, La Quinta, because La Quinta is Spanish for next to Shoney's.
See, when you said Shoney's, I thought breakfast sandwich. I don't know what.
Weird. Brian Dunaway, what do you think of when I say Shoney's?
Shoney's, the place that got shut down, used to go to for breakfast bar.
Yeah, breakfast bar.
Ooh,
the breakfast bar. That's what it is. I would make my own sandwich.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that brings me back to bacon because it was all you could eat.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. One big circle of life. All right. I only got the only part of Lou Diamond Phillips I captured was the sound of him rubbing his teeth. Are you ready for that?
No. Yeah.
Here you go. Okay. And I'll do it again.
Yeah. I heard that as well. Yeah. I heard him do that because he went,
oh, man.
Getting his lipstick off.
Yep. He had a lipstick on his teeth. So he was taking it off.
I just want to hate that.
I hate it too.
Right.
Hate it.
I'm with you.
It's gross. And maybe that grossed me out. I don't know.
Well, I mean, this comedy wasn't that kind of comedy. Last week we had a lot of that, you know, over the top the Burbs comedy where you'd have a silly boing and stuff here and there. But mm-hmm. this movie didn't do it except just like a few times. And I'm like, this isn't slapstick or physical sure. humor.
Sure.
Except yeah. for when Harrison Ford rips the bike out of that kid's hand. I'm like, okay, a little
yeah. bit. Oh, I got sound from that. Just you wait. here's my favorite alternate Batman. So my second favorite Batman voice, my second favorite Commander Pike, Mr. Bruce Greenwood himself.
This is a fully authorized investigation within the jurisdiction and the purview of the Charter of the City of Los Angeles. Oh,
please. But I'll open it.
Go ahead.
I love him. He's great. And that guy's, I think he's in his 70s now. Freaking ripped.
Ripped. Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, watch Gerald's Game again. You're going to be mind blown that old guy has kept himself in the shape he's in. It's amazing. All right, here's it himself, Keith David.
Look, as immediate supervisor of these men, you are bound to inform me of any investigation involving my section.
Man, nobody talks like that.
Love
guy.
Him. His voice is just fantastic.
It's the most and unique voice in history, I swear.
Love when they use him in Rick and Morty.
Oh yeah, he's oh, really sure. good. He's the president, right, or something?
Yeah the president. Yeah. Yep.
And Keith David is our film Sactor. This movie, this is our ninth time seeing Keith David on Film Sack.
Yes. Wow.
I'll give it this same character that he played in Armageddon, and I like that.
Yeah, I like that.
He was, you know, we loved him in The Thing.
Did we see The Thing? We saw The Thing sequel. Did we see the original Thing? I don't remember.
Yeah,
we did see the original Thing. Yeah,
never remember.
I didn't think did we see The Thing prequel?
I thought we did.
No, I don't remember it. We talked about it.
I watched it for recommendals or watched it when we were doing the things with Nicole pre-recommendals.
We must have because I saw it, but I wouldn't have seen it without you guys. That's weird.
Yeah.
The Thing.
I think our most recent Keith David was Nope. And
Nope.
I really liked that movie. I don't know if you guys remember it fondly.
Yeah, the movie's great. Yeah.
Loved it.
Oh man, searching quicksack.li for The Thing is really hard because it's in so many right. descriptions. It just goes on forever. Yeah, you're right.
It'd be fun to actually put the horror from The Thing into all those other movies, like that The Thing You Do.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, there it is. FilmSack 88. I have it completely backwards that I watched The Thing too with you guys. I don't know why. And I've seen The Thing like many times since because that movie rocks. All right, here's a clip about a guy. That was a guy.
That hooker last night. That was a guy. That was a cop. That was a guy cop.
Yeah, that was kind of funny.
Oh, and then you get a little bit of that ringtone. Yeah. Oh.
Everything was interrupted with a ringtone. This
in my nightmares, I still hear my girl. ringtone. What was Hartnett's? Hartnett had one too. What was his? It was a modern song.
Oh, shoot. I didn't capture it, but it was like, you're right. It was like a more 80s, 90s thing or something.
Yeah.
Can't remember. It was annoying, though. Uh-huh. Okay. I don't know what this is. I'll just play it.
Great and the near great. I used to be huge.
Oh, yeah. So we forgot to mention that your old pal, Ed Wood, what's his name? What's the actor?
Oh, yeah.
Damn it. Why can't I fucking his
Town.
Name?
Funky Town, by the way, is Hartnett's ringtone.
Martin Landau. Oh yeah, Funky Martin Town. Right? Yeah. Martin Landau was in this, and he wasn't in it very long, and only had a very quick few things to say. But he did say,
"I used to be huge,"
and he did say,
"I could be huge again."
Yeah, and then Harrison Ford said,
"Still huge to me, Mr. Duran."
Yeah, we all.
And see, I thought that was going to be a bit talking to his prom date's dad.
Yeah.
That's great.
I'll admit I thought about it. All right, here's a good yell.
Oh!
All right, that's a fun one. I don't remember who that was. Oh! That's a good one. And then Ford angry acting yell thing when he's still on the bike.
Come here!
I love that. I love that is the only thing I love from this movie, but I love that.
It's clearly like,
because it almost feels like it's Harrison Ford's real reaction to doing this movie.
Yeah. Like that kid really annoyed him and would hit him if he wasn't on camera.
I bet that kid really like had to actually have some therapy for being in that scene with a screamy Harrison Ford.
Yeah, it's really something to hear him do that.
Mommy, I still have nightmares about the screaming man.
Still lives in the basement all these years later. 25 years later. All right.
25 years later, yeah.
Here's the scream death of that dude. And this part made me laugh. It's just a stupid, stupid thing, and I liked it.
You know what? And kudos, small kudos to this film for not having him land on the top of a car.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, yes. There were a lot of times in this movie when I was like, oh, they didn't do the thing I was expecting.
Yeah. For a movie that does most everything else I expect.
Yes, maybe they just couldn't get a car. I don't know, a garbage,
nice
garbage
that,
bin, sure.
Nice that they skipped it a couple of times. All right, well, that all went real good. So what that means is checklist time. This movie has 14 unresolved plots. Check. Han Solo humping a two-way interrogation mirror. Check.
Yeah.
I forgot about that scene until I just reminded myself. And then criminal underuse of Keith David. Check. I think that's
yes.
true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that was the film sack checklist.
Should be booked for that.
I agree. Book him, Dano. Star Trek connections. Bruce Greenwood's the only one I could think of, so I assume there's more. What do we got?
I'm going to go quick. We have Alan Dale as Commander Preston in this. He was in Star Trek Nemesis, bit role. Clyde Kusatsu was the coroner with the one joke in this movie.
Yeah. With the squirty body. Mm, juicy. Yeah,
he was Admiral Nakamura in Star Trek The Next Generation. Greg Daniel was in an episode of Voyager. This was a character named Detective Mando Lopez in this movie. Mm. James McDonald was a character named Danny Broom in this movie. He was in an episode of Deep Space Nine. Jason Matthew Smith was one of the repo guys in this movie. He was in both Star Trek and Star Trek Into Darkness as bit roles. Tom Todaroff was Internal Affairs Detective Zeno. So he's the guy next to he's a weird looking dude next to Bruce Greenwood. Mm. He was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager.
Yeah.
And then finally, Bruce Greenwood is one of our best Christopher Pikes. I feel like he's been finally surpassed. Mm-hmm.
He was number one. Yeah, he was number one for me until the new stuff.
Until Mount. Right? Yeah. Anson Mount. Yeah.
Anson Mount really nailed it to the point that it was impossible not to notice. That's really good. All right. Well done. I'd give the soundtrack a grade A for average. Just thought it was, sufficient for the work involved.
Yeah, it was a little TV show at times, a little like when they were up on the rooftop, fighting and chasing each other from rooftop to rooftop, it felt a little
A-teamy.
I don't know.
Anything from to distract me from the fact that old man Harrison Ford is trying to.
Yes, right. Now Isaiah Washington has to really try to leap over that gap, and then they just kind of we're not going to show Harrison Ford crossing it. He's already on the other side. We're not going to say how he got there.
Yeah,
I mean, this is an Alex Werman scored film. When you're hearing that scored music, that's Alex Werman.
Yeah,
pretty good composer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got nominated for some awards for the music from March of the Penguins.
Do you have any significant earwormins that I would know?
I actually just looked it up. He won a BMI Film Music Award for March of the Penguins.
So he worked with George Miller. That's cool. Oh, no, that's not March of the Penguins. That's the other one. Never mind. I got all excited for a second. Shit. All right. It's fine.
I think Brian Dunaway hears Alex Werman every year when he watches Four Christmases.
That's right.
That's cool. All right. Well, good job, Alex Werman. Werman.
That's right.
You Werman?
Let's get to the social media post. All right. Look, we got 280 characters to work with. You guys got to sum that thing up in those many characters. And we're going to start this week with Beware Andy.
Hollywood Homicide. Shall I compare thee to a summer's day? One art a day, and thou art a pile of dung. Could this have been a better time in every way? Yes.
You're so nice. The most accurate poem of all time.
Nice.
Nicely done. Nice. Now we nicely roll over to Brian Dunaway.
Hollywood Homicide. Knee deep in Hollywood navel gazing duck shit.
All right. Got some characters to spare. Don't want to waste them. I get it.
Oh, man. Mine's even shorter.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Let's go to Brian Ibbett then.
Hollywood Homicide. Feeble Weapon.
Oh! Now that's good.
Perfect. I love it so much.
That's a good alternate title. You beat me.
I want one of those shitty movie posters. You know, does anybody follow those accounts that post shitty movie posters?
No.
Oh, there's there's one called Awful Fan-Made Posters, I think, is the name of it.
I'm into that.
And it is truly awful. It will hurt you.
Oh, I follow them. I just found out. I didn't even know I followed them. I guess I do. That's great. I have to catch up on what they've been doing. All right, let's do this now. Alternate titles, even though I think Ibbets was maybe the best alternate title of the day. Let's try these other two that were almost the titles. Hollywood Bombicide. Because it bombed, see, at the box office and with critics. Or Indiana Jones and the Stupid Movie. How about that?
that's just right out there. Like yeah. It is.
Yeah, I like that one. All right. Emails and texts and things. We get stuff from you guys. You guys email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Like Richard from Nashville, who said, "Hey, Scott, hope you and the guys are doing well. I captured what I think would be your grossest moment from the movie Aliens. The late, great Bill Paxton was letting the spittle fly. And you just know it hit poor Michael Biehn right in the kisser off screen. Have a great one, Richard." So I'm going to send you guys a file here. Captured a screen. This is it. I never noticed it before, but there he is. Look at that spit.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
That's a lot of Photoshop.
That's a real thing, he says.
Yeah. But he's all around that smoke and stuff, too. You know how it is. You get all that.
Well, it's right after they crashed, right? The crash landing.
Yeah.
And yeah. 5x5 ladies dead.
A minute before game over, basically, is when this happened.
Game over, man.
This reminds me, I just want to praise Hollywood Homicide for the quality of the stunts and the visual effects.
No, that was good.
I never once noticed something like, you know, digitally added smoke. And when Harrison Ford runs and jumps over the back of a convertible Mustang, that was Harrison Ford. He did a really good job.
Was it really him? Wow.
Yeah.
His back was so bad since Temple of Doom. I always thought he seemed like he was slower in most movies, but I don't know. That's pretty good. Not bad for 65 or whatever he was.
Because Scott, if this was a visual effect in 2003, it's really impressive. It was Harrison Ford. You see his face clearly as he is running and throwing himself around.
Maybe he did. Maybe he did his own stunts.
Nowadays, it would just be someone with Harrison Ford's body and you'd paint the face on, right?
That's true.
Except for when he was up, he was on the roof that one time and he was leaning back. I was like, that's not Harrison Ford.
There was a moment in that fight where, it's kind of obvious. We also got a text, 801-471-0462. This is a text, a couple of these actually. Well, this one is from nobody's name, so I'm just going to tell you what it is. It says, "Yo, you guys wanted a beach movie?
Yo.
Here you are. Dr. Coldfoot and Bikini Machine."
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I know we were talking about Annette Funicello and all that sort of thing. So what is that? Dr. Coldfoot?
Goldfoot.
Oh, even better. Goldfoot.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, there it is right there.
It does.
1965.
Right.
Oh, Frankie Avalon again. Vincent Price. There we go.
Vincent Price. I hope he's Dr. Goldfoot.
Yeah, dude.
He is.
He stepped in it.
Okay. So what is this, like a Bond thing?
It's funny you got Frankie Avalon, but yeah, no,
it is a James Bond.
Funicello.
Yeah.
Funicello.
A skirt chasing spy and a millionaire bachelor must foil mad scientist Dr. Goldfoot's plan to use his army of bikini clad robots to seduce wealthy men into signing over their assets. Where's the beach part?
Works for me.
So are they on the beach or is this?
Annette Funicello does make a cameo appearance. There we go.
Okay. So there is some beach shit in here.
Beach shit. I'm only into it if it's bingo.
Three of these actresses.
Make a bingo.
Three of these actresses on IMDb are all on the beach. This is all they ever did. Four of them. That's amazing. That's
if awesome. You have a thing, you stick with it.
That's right. Here's another one where this is from Larry. We got his name. He says, "Hey guys, just letting you know that Randy was wrong about Robert Picardo being on DS9 before he was on Voyager. He did appear as EMH's character on DS9, but that's a season 5 episode. Voyager had been on the air for a few seasons before then." He says, "Also, that's an important DS9 episode lore-wise because we find out an important piece of info about Julian."
Hey.
All right, take care, says Larry.
Yeah. You try to handle some Star Trek trivia, you're going to get the occasional, excuse me.
Actually.
Wrong. Yeah. Actually.
Yeah, no, I thought something was fishy with it, but he confirms it. And I do remember that DS9 episode being very good, so... Everyone go watch it, I guess.
It's called Star Trek Connections.
There it is. That's right. Let's move on to some patrons I'd like to thank. There's some new folks like Fenrock, Illusioned One, Oislin McColgan, and Ryan.
Oislin.
Ryan.
It's probably an Irish name pronounced Leanne or something.
Probably. They do that over there. But Ryan, I love that Ryan's in here because everyone else sounds crazy, but Ryan's just like a normal guy. Right. Anyway, because you guys signed up at patreon.com/filmsack, guess what you get? You get movie related art in the mail from me. You get monthly host episodes. Who we got queued up? Ibbit, right? Or who's
me,
up?
Me. Randy first and I'm April.
I don't think Scott has ever got it right.
Nope.
I love it. It's every time it's like,
and all I got to do,
right. Chance you'll get it
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. 25%.
Yeah. All I have to do is click this Discord pin thing, and there it is. But I still get it wrong.
25% of the time, he's wrong 100% of the time.
That's right. But those are awesome, and you want those. Promise on that. You also get pre-show content every week and no commercials ever. What else can you ask for? Go on over to patreon.com/filmsack today and become one of our beloved patrons. Our next movie is going to be, Randy, I don't have it written. What is it?
Oh, it's
going to
be Elektra.
Ooh, oh, the Daredevil shit. Companion,
now
right?
Time we get back to some Marvel shit, because we had a lot of DC shit back in 2023. Yeah. We're ready for some Marvel shit.
And we sacked Daredevil last year, and the original goal was to sack them back to back, and then we watched Daredevil like, oh, no, we're not going to do this.
Give it a little time. We need a little time in between things. Yeah. I'm happy to be getting back to that, though, because I have zero memory of any of it. I don't remember.
I remember liking it, so we're going to see how wrong I was.
Yeah. But I remember
almost
liking,
tell you right now.
I liked it. I remember liking Daredevil more than I do now, so maybe that you'll have the same problem. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's next week. Elektra, where is it streaming?
Right now it is on HBO Max or HBO Max's Max.
Yeah.
HBO Max.
Yeah. Max. As Brian Dunaway always calls it.
Brought to you by HBO Max.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Dunaway does it every week. So call it HBO Max Max. That's the true name. We should call it that. That's fantastic. But that's where that'll be living. So go watch it if you haven't seen it yet. We had somebody write in and say, or maybe it was a Discord discussion. Somebody was saying, well, here's the problem. They got ad tiers now on Netflix. And when we watch something on Netflix, sometimes the ad tier level doesn't have the show or the movie.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, really?
I did not know that.
I didn't either. I just assumed everything had ads. So I don't know.
I like that idea. I like to think that there's some studios out there going, no, you are not showing our movie.
Unless you're putting heads on it.
Guys, I've been thinking I need to have fewer than 11 active subscriptions.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, same, dude. It's
too many.
Yeah. I feel the exact same way.
We could all just join Tubi.
$1 million idea. Someone needs to do it. Is where you basically create your list of where you create your list of things you want to watch, and then it tells you, okay, we're coming close to the end of the month. Turn off Netflix, turn on HBO Max, and watch these six things. And then at the end of that month, all right, turn off HBO Max. Like it basically looks at your list of things you want to watch and does it for you.
Is that not what the premium Just Watch does? No, not what I do now.
It doesn't tell you that. You have to
do now.
I listened to your thing, Dunaway. I remember your stress farts, thing. Stress shit. What was it?
Stress poops.
Thank you.
Stress farts.
No, it needs to be way more automatic for me. Give me an actual button on the pay. Like, give me the email that says, all right, we're coming close to the end of the month.
I'm buying iamlazy.com, and let's just see if I can.
Oh, all right. I love it. Kidding. Yes.
Do it.
We get somebody in our community is smart enough to know how to code this. We just, we're the idea people, the interface people. We can all make it happen.
For FilmSack specifically, I've got two top tiers of streamers, and I'm like trying to keep it as simple as possible. So in the top tier, it's Netflix, Max, and Amazon Prime. Mm, and we're really trying to only sack films that are streaming on those because like that makes sense.
Yeah.
The second tier is Disney and Apple.
Yeah.
And once a year or twice a year, we'll pick a movie on one of those. But I everything after that, I'm just like, I'm getting rid of all this stuff.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to trim.
I need to be better at that too.
I need to actually just look at everything I sub to and just start chucking the shit
out. I hate to say it. I mean, they were a sponsor of mine for a while, and I still use them even though they're not a sponsor and I don't get free access to the product anymore. But Rocket Money is really good for that. And it even, it tells you what you're subscribed to, and it even gives you buttons to unsubscribe, or it'll negotiate lower prices on the things that can be negotiated.
How do they know
that
you're...
never given us a single dollar.
Rocket Netflix. Money. Oh, Netflix. They don't give a shit. But how does Rocket Money know that you're signed up for other things? You have to tell it that?
You do have to log in. Like, you do have to give it credit card information.
All right. Yeah. Kind of curious.
But it's quick and, I don't know how.
Sure.
They haven't been involved in a data breach in at least 6 months. So I feel like
I prefer a company that's been recently breached because they are typically the ones that are on high alert.
That's true. Yeah. It's like going to the fast food place right after they reopen after a health scare.
Yeah.
Like we did all the shit right this time around. Yeah,
that's the most clean that oil is ever going to be in the
You'll never have a better taco at Taco Bell than the day after. Right,
yeah. Exactly.
I'm actually a big believer in that. Anyway, we'll see. But next week we're doing Elektra and it's on Max. Okay. So go check it out. In the meantime, we are also on FilmSack at FilmSack.com. And you can also find us again at our Patreon, Patreon.com/FilmSack. And if you'd leave us a review wherever you get your shows, be that Apple Podcasts or freaking over there or whatever Google's doing now, I guess it's on YouTube, it's a YouTube podcast, wherever it is, Spotify, leave us a positive review because it helps us in very meaningful ways. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
That was a guy.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Oh! Yeah.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.